Well, one thing Andy and I were talking about with this, Tony, we thought it was kind of a cool idea where if you remember the joiners table at the Wiener Stube, where all the families would sit down, but there was that big round table where literally anybody could sit down and just start up a conversation. And we were thinking this format would be kind of good to pull a lot of the old folks in and some of the younger folks and just kind of have conversations like this going forward. I wondered what your take would be on that, if you thought that was a fun idea or not.
I think it's a great idea. You know, I mean, God, I mean, just like you guys wrote a book because you wanted to get your stories out there. I think everybody wants to tell at least a little bit of their story because it's just important. And if we don't get the stories, and then the people die, and then the stories are gone.
Right.
I mean, I think that's really important.
Yeah, I feel like it's the same thing with the Native American culture. If you don't lock it down, it just disappears, you know. And I feel like what we, again, you talk about, we grew up in a magic place in a magic time, and I feel like if we don't capture that, no one's gonna know because it's just gonna get stuccoed over.
Oh yeah, I mean, already there's so many people live around there, they don't have a clue about the history of the town, and it just disappears.
So, you know, that's interesting too, because, you know, when you say, talk about the people who came in the end of the 70s, before, kind of right before the 80s kicked in, there was sort of a real push for the people that were coming in to really just sort of blend in. In other words, they didn't buy fancy cars, they bought a Jeep, or they bought just a Bronco, you know, or a Subaru. But it was not about, you know, a Lamborghini or any kind of fancy stuff.
Well, they bought a truck and put an old broom in the back corner of it, you know.
But it was more about
absolutely.
It was more about like sort of fitting in, and it felt like, you know, Stranahan would be in the back of the room, not in the front of the room, you know. And it felt to me like there was sort of an attitude or a way of being part of the community. And I wonder if people coming there now don't really care about that community, and they're just more tied to where they're coming from than where they are, you know.
Like reading your book, you guys felt that way back when.
Yeah.
And I was probably so damn busy I missed it, but anyway, and I'm going, oh damn, I like these stories.
Well, there's so many that we didn't put in there too, and I'm sure you've got a million that you could share too. But you know, when people ask me why I left Aspen, I look back to a time where I met like Donald Trump, and I met, you know, Rupert Murdoch, and all these super wealthy influencers or whatever you want to call it. And it just kind of made me think I need to go take a shower and then figure out something else, because I don't want to be around a lot of those folks, you know.
Oh God. Well, you know, it's funny how it works. I mean I still ski a lot, so I'm up there, you know, most days in the winter. And summer I really don't go up there much, but you know, people complain about the diet, and that for sure. But I was taking a gal out for dinner, and I thought, well, I'll impress her a little bit, and I took her to one of the high-end restaurants, and I'll be damned if our waiter used to date one of my cousins. And I'm like, well, son of a bitch, this is kind of like the old days.
I was surprised how many of the old timers came out to the book signing when we were there. That was really, really neat to see all those folks. And I didn't realize so many folks had stuck around and stayed.
Yeah, it for me, it made me feel like we did a good job.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, because I was kind of like you.
Were you ever involved in any city politics, Tony?
You know, yeah.
You had the Keenists and Hershey, and you had all these different folks, you know?
and the Whitmires.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God, mostly I was a bystander, but I can't remember exactly when it was, like the early 70s, like 71, 72, maybe. I wanted to run for county commissioner, and I had the backing of the ski company. They thought it'd be great. And my uncle happened to be a big gun in the Democratic Party. He said, well, you should run as a Democrat. And Mike Garish backed me. I had a pretty good crew. And the Democrat Party said, well, who the hell are you? We've never heard of you. We're not going to back you. And so I gave them the middle finger and said, you guys can have it.
And the rest is history, as they say, right?
Well, you know, so basically you were running for like what Greg Poshman's position back in.
Yeah, exactly.
But that is the problem why we are right now. Had you been in there, we might be in a much different situation.
That's what I'm saying. I think my brother ran for one of those too a couple of years ago. And the guy that beat him was the one that went up against Lauren Boebert in the election, most recent election, or whatever.
Oh God, Adam Frisch.
Do you know what's going on with the Aspen
Club? Remodeled the place, and then the guy was up to his eyeballs in debt. I think he declared bankruptcy, or maybe just before he did, he got a partner or somebody collaborate with him. So I don't know if the Aspen Club is open yet or what's going on up there.
So they're thinking about, because I remember when they first, before they even built the Aspen Club, the deal was he had to remodel the Jerome. They were going to tear it down, and the city was like, no, that's a historical landmark. We'll let you build the Aspen Club, but you're going to need to remodel the Jerome. And it was like a much bigger expense than he was anticipating.
Dick Patera.
You got it. That's the name.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I worked with him at the Jerome for a bit.